Good morning, everyone. Welcome to today's episode of Beyond the Stethoscope, a podcast focused on hospice palliative care. Today, we have a special episode, and the title is The Lived Experience of a North Simcoe Muskoka Hospice Palliative Care Nurse Consultant in Palliative Care. Today, our guests are nurse consultants Charlene Hagerman, Kathleen Bartlett, Inga De Bruin, Sue Martin, and our clinical manager, Rachel LaPonce. Today's episode is special because it's a tribute to our dear Charlene, who will be retiring at the end of the month. Charlene started her nursing career in the acute care setting in 1979. While in Toronto, she began her community nursing career. It was during her team leader role with Bayshore Home Health where she found her passion for palliative care. Charlene obtained her specialty certificate in hospice palliative care in 2005, and in 2010, Charlene joined the network as a nurse consultant in the Barrie area. She is providing palliative support and education to patients and family, as well as healthcare providers in the hospital and community settings. So good morning and welcome, everyone. The process for today's episode, since there are so many of you, I'll be mentioning your name while I'm asking you a question so that the audience understands who's speaking back. So Charlene, I'm going to ask you first, who or what made you decide to become a nurse?
Oh, I remember finishing high school and really feeling uncertain as to what kind of a career path I wanted to follow. I just thought I'd go into nursing because I thought even if I didn't want to pursue a career in nursing, it was just good life knowledge to have if you're raising a family and children and cuts and bruises and just knowing what to do in different situations. But by the end of finishing the nursing program, it just seemed natural that that's what you did. You just went in and started a career. And I think at that time too, there was more stereotypical occupations that women would enter, and certainly nursing was one of them. Another big influence was an older sister. I come from a family of six girls. So she is a nurse, and I think even though her first day of nursing training down in Toronto, she ended up back home and wasn't going to go back. She ended up finishing a career after 43 and a half years at the same small hospital. So I think it was her encouragement that really influenced me a lot as well.
And Charlene, what advice would you give to a new nurse entering the profession?
There's so much advice I could share, but also recognizing that we all are very different. And what things may affect one person or nurse don't affect all. But here are a few of my tidbits. Keeping a work-home balance can be difficult. This career can be physically and emotionally demanding, exhausting, and very rewarding all at the same time. Be prepared to be going to work when others are going to bed or opening presents on Christmas morning. Be prepared to have times where you feel like you made such a difference and other times when you have no idea how you got through your day or your shift. Others won't always notice that you're doing your best and giving your all. Know that you're going to see more sadness than you ever imagined, but also know that you will see more. You will also experience a lot of joy in this profession. It's so important to support your colleagues. Allow times to vent, but also allow times to not talk about work and to just have fun. And a sense of humor is so important. We need that sense of humor, and just be very aware that nurses can have a very twisted sense of humor. Learn to say no when you're at the end of your rope, and please look after yourself. Self-care is so important.
That was great, Charlene. I'm sure that all of us on the podcast this morning would agree with your sentiments. Rachel, what do you like most about being a nurse?
For me, I like being a nurse because I am making a difference in people's lives. One's health is so important, and, you know, health, whatever the way we define it. And even if you are unwell, if you can feel the best you possibly can at that moment in time, it improves your outlook on things. I think it's a luxury to have a career such as we do, that we were really probably born to do, and to be able to support our families doing something that comes naturally to us.
And Rachel, what is the hardest part about being a nurse?
For me, the hardest part about being a nurse is the inability to get all things done in the required amount of time. Nothing is ever completed, and there is always something else left to do, a task to speak about. I had a manager once say to me that there are back-to-back shifts in nursing, one after another, for those fragile and those critically ill, because there is always going to be something left undone. And that the next nurse who's coming on shift after me will need to address those. And we need to be confident in passing that responsibility on to our colleagues. This is one of the most challenging things that I find is, you know, just leaving my shift and knowing that things are going to continue to be done.
Thank you. And Kathleen, what are you most grateful for in your career?
I would have to say I'm most grateful for all of the patients and the families that I've got to work with over the years and the connections that I've been able to make with them. I would also say that I'm grateful that I've been able to be a mentor for a lot of students in our local community in the acute care setting. And I find that they've actually taught me new skills and updated my practice. And it's also helped to evolve my personal practice.
Yes, having students can certainly be rewarding and fun at the same time. Rachel, what do you think are the three main characteristics of a nurse? So, for example, caring, communication skills, empathy, attention to detail, humor, etc.
Well, and it's difficult to pick the three main characteristics because essentially they're also very important in different situations. Generally speaking, though, in my role, I tend to incorporate caring, compassion, and humor as priorities for me on a daily basis.
Sue, what was your first professional experience in death and dying and palliative care? And is this what sparked your interest in working in palliative care?
I remember as a student, probably first year, I was given an assignment to provide personal care for an older gentleman. He was non-responsive and he quite likely died while I provided that care. And I remember thinking that it was so sad. He was all alone, no family present. I had no training or preparation for end of life care. And I was left alone with him. I think it's essential that we prepare our nurses early by incorporating education around a palliative approach to care into the curriculum. We need to ensure the best care for patients all along their journey, including that active dying phase. As a visiting nurse, it was really satisfying. And I think that's what really sparked my interest in palliative care, to be able to go into a home and provide that full visit that was really helpful to the family and the patient.
So now I'd like to open up the same questions to the group to have your answers on what was your first professional experience in death and dying in palliative care? And what sparked your interest in working in this field? So I'll just open it up.
Well, I think for me, I'm not sure that this was my first experience with death and dying, but I'm not sure that it sparked an interest in palliative care. Maybe quite the opposite, but I remember my very first shift as a registered nurse in a small hospital. And there was a very serious accident. It was a small community. So you knew that, well, I certainly learned to know very quickly that if an ambulance was coming in with lights and sirens, you could be pulled from the floor that you were on or the unit that you were on to any other unit. So this one was over to emergency and then to assist with taking a patient down to the morgue. And I just remember going home that night, not sleeping all night, thinking, what am I doing? Why did I decide to work as a nurse? Will I be able to do this? So I got through that, but it's still something that sits with me for sure.
Stayed with you your whole life, and it must have made some decisions for you, Charlene, because obviously 42 years later in your nursing career, you're still in palliative care.
Yeah, that's right.
Would anyone else like to share?
I'll share an experience that I had. I don't think it was the first one, but I remember being on a internal floor, 32 patients. I was the student. I was not a full-fledged nurse at the time. So me and the RN were on the ward. Evening shift, doing our rounds, they were a little bit different at a time than what is being done now, because you did everything for the person. Come into a gentleman's room, me not realizing that this gentleman is at end of life. And when I was done repositioning him and taking care of him, he asked me to stay with him. And I couldn't, because I had the rest of the rounds to do. There was so much work to be done. I did tell him I'll come back. And then by the time I'd done my rounds and went back, he had died. I'm still sitting here when I tell the story. I even sit here with goosebumps. Stuck with me. I don't know if that's why I went into palliative care, but it's one of those experiences you never forget.
Yeah, you never forget, but it's an unfortunate reality of nursing and the spending of time. And thankfully, in our profession, in a specialty, we do get most of that time. So thank you, Inga. Is there anyone else that would like to share?
I would. I remember, and this was, I was a new grad. I had only been working on the floor. It was a big medical floor in Toronto in a city hospital. And I had come on shift for 3 to 11, and we of course had sick calls. They were not replaced. It was wild. There were 40 patients on the floor. There were clinical clerks all over the place. It was kind of crazy. And there had been a gentleman who had coded. We had just finished with all of that and trying to clean and straighten up that whole situation and deal with family. And, you know, I had meds to give out and all kinds of things that needed to be done, and everything was way behind. And I went down the hall to check on some patients, and I found this little lady that we had on the floor for a very long time had passed away in that whole process. We had missed this. She had died. And I remember being just devastated over the fact that no one had been with her. And it was a very upsetting shift. But I don't know that that ever sparked me into doing palliative care. I just know that, you know, throughout my whole career, no matter where I've worked, I think that we've been doing palliative care, even though we didn't have a label for it or a designated type of care. We've always been doing palliative care, no matter what area.
Thank you for sharing, everyone. Rachel, what are some of the challenges, both personal and system-wide, that you have encountered when providing palliative care to a patient and their family?
System-wide, I would say equity and service provision for those with a palliative approach to care is certainly a reoccurring theme I hear spoken about often. There is not an easy solution, and certainly not one solution or intervention that can resolve the discrepancies. The complexity of healthcare and service provision continues, but as service providers, we can advocate and function the best we possibly can with the resources we have been given within our scope as nurses. And through this, we can at least address and work within some of the inequities that we experience system-wide.
That's so true. Sue, you've had a lengthy career in palliative care, so I'd like to ask you the next question. How has the delivery of palliative care changed over your career?
Oh, it's changed so much in many ways. But it also hasn't changed a lot at all in some ways. In my early nursing years in the community, if you had the experience in providing end-of-life care, the patient and family would definitely benefit from that because you knew who to call and for what. So I think in that regard, the provision of palliative care has become more formalized as an increased awareness and understanding of palliative care and a palliative approach to care. There are more resources available. There's many opportunities for education and building supports for patients and families at all levels. While there are still many of the same barriers to care, such as staff availability, I think that we are working better together to support the patient and family right from the high level planning tables like HPCO and the documents like the Ways Forward, all the way to providing that mentorship to the frontline nurse and physician at the bedside. The use of technology has certainly improved care provision at all levels, and that's a big change from when I first started nursing.
Yes, for lots of us here in the group, that's been a big change, technology. Inga, you've also had a very lengthy career in palliative nursing. So what do you envision in the future for hospice palliative care?
I envision a world where death and dying are a normal part of the cycle of living and life. Normalized and not pushed away like a lot of times we do at the moment still. And I hope for more palliative care education for all medical people at a systems level. If everybody would learn more in medical schools about palliative care and a palliative approach to care, I think there would be less of an issue with people not being able to access palliative care, especially in our rural areas. I see a world where people are supported early on in their journey through a truly multidisciplinary team, where there's great communication, compassion, and respect for patients and families, but as well for the team members.
Thank you, Inga. And Kathleen, you're one of our younger nurses, and I do know that early on in your career, you did have a vision that you would like to spend your career in palliative care nursing. So as part of the nurse consultant role, obviously part of that role is education and mentoring. How do you incorporate education into your everyday practice?
We are constantly meeting and connecting with many people from all walks of life within the community, acute care, long-term care, retirement home settings. And I feel that each person is unique and they can all teach us something different. Sometimes these things we may incorporate into our nursing practice, and sometimes they may actually just alter how we live our day-to-day life. So I think that we're actually lucky to work with a very vast group of healthcare providers within our local community and outside of our region, and organizations that offer continuous education programs that we can register for, and it helps in connection and building capacity in our local communities that we're serving.
And Kathleen, tell me about a scenario that went well that has actually stayed with you through your career.
So one of the scenarios that has always stayed in my mind was a patient I was caring for in acute care. I became very connected to the patient and her family. She was very sweet, fun to be around, even given her poor trajectory. I would always try and make time during my day to say hello to family who came to visit. And I always ensured that when I had their mom, that she was clean, bathed, and had fresh sheets. And on our unit, we actually called it fluffed and puffed. We'd make sure we had all our like smelly goodies, and she would have like a fresh nightie on and fresh sheets and looked good. So when their mom was closer to her final days, they were scared to touch or even be close to their mom. I told them that it was okay to be scared, and if they wanted to, they could actually get in bed beside her and have a snuggle. And their mom actually asked me to get in bed with her. So I was like, I couldn't say no to her. I like took my shoes off and I jumped right in bed with her, and we had a little snuggle. And the family asked if it was okay if they took my picture. And at that point I was like, I don't care. That's totally fine. So when their mom did pass away, they sent a beautiful thank you card to the floor, and in that included a printout of me with their mom. So I'm thankful for that moment, and it will always, I'll always remember the fun and kindness.
Well, I absolutely love that story. That's so awesome. Sue, could you tell me about a scenario that didn't go well that has stayed with you through your career?
Well, I've had many, many positive situations, but one that I remember not going well, and this was a long time ago. I remember that there was a very late referral coming to us in the community, a family where the patriarch was at end of life. He was actively dying. The referral had come to us very late in the patient's illness trajectory, and the culture was such that the family believed that the patient should not be told of his diagnosis. The entire family was present in the house, and some were not comfortable being at the bedside, but they were pressured to go and see Papa. The patient's symptoms were not well managed, or not as well as they could have been. He was short of breath and he was in pain. And he had existential distress because he knew something was very, very wrong. It was a large family and there was very little agreement regarding goals of care. There was also a language barrier and the physician was not available for home visits. So it was a real challenge. I still remember it to this day very clearly. And I'm really thankful that we've moved to a palliative approach to care so that ideally many of these issues can be addressed in a timely fashion to better support the needs of the patient and the family.
Exactly. Palliative care is filled with many moral and ethical dilemmas.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing. Kathleen, if there were no constrictions of time, money, or resources, what would be your wish list for patients and their families receiving palliative care?
I would wish that everybody has access in a timely manner, wherever they wished to have their end of life experience, whether that was at home, hospice, long-term care, retirement home, or hospital. Again, in a timely manner with all of the services and equipment that they needed, and that there wasn't a shortage of healthcare providers to provide that specialized care for each individual and their family or loved one going through this difficult time.
Yes, and I'm sure all of us on here on the podcast would echo your wish list. Rachel, what is the most rewarding part about working in and teaching palliative care for you?
For me, the most rewarding part of providing education and palliative care is seeing the engagement from the learners, watching the conversations unravel, and seeing the passion that's ignited in those learners. When attendees in a workshop are chatting and smiling and nodding their head, absorbing the education that's being provided, it's phenomenal. And I love seeing that. It's truly satisfying. When I can see the engagement and reflection as they participate, it makes the nervousness that I feel when I'm the facilitator, or I'm the presenter, worth my efforts.
Yes, teaching and mentoring is a gift that lives on, and we're so lucky to be able to do that in our role every day. And Inga, what accomplishment are you most proud of in your career?
That's a hard question, Linda. There's not one thing that I'm most proud of that I can think of. The journey has been really fulfilling, and I'm still learning every single day. I wouldn't be the person today if it wasn't for all the great experiences that I've had with the people, with the team members all along. If I look back from the time when I started nursing till now, there's been such a huge changes in palliative care. And I think we've come a very, very long way. But I also know there's still a lot there to be done. I am very proud of being a part of the changing culture that improves quality of life for people and hopefully enhances everyone's experiences.
Thank you, Inga, and you should be proud. You're a wonderful part of our team and a wonderful, wonderful nurse.
Thanks, Linda.
Charlene, I have another question for you. What is something that you have learned about yourself because of your career?
I think over the course of my career, I've become a much stronger and more resilient person. I've certainly gained more compassion for others, and I find that people often can navigate towards myself to share their stories, some good, some bad. And I think I have the ability to listen and support in a non-judgmental way. And if I can just help somebody feel a bit better about the situation that they're experiencing, it's all good. You never know what someone has gone through or the challenges they're about to face. So just taking the time to listen is so important.
And today is National Kindness Day, Charlene. And you mentioned that you're a giver, and also you are one of the most kindest person that I've ever met.
Oh.
And how has your nursing experience prepared you for the next phase of your life?
So I feel like over the years, I've given a lot to patients and families. And now it's not that my giving will stop, but hopefully I'll be able to spend some more energy on myself, my family, and my friends. The heaviness I feel that I've carried, and I feel that most nurses carry maybe more heaviness in their lives because of what they do, I'm hoping that that will become lighter. And I've definitely learned how precious and unpredictable life can be, and will hopefully be able to appreciate more the beauty of the people and the nature that surrounds me.
Thank you, Charlene. And now, Rachel, I'd like to have you say a few words in tribute to Charlene and her retirement on behalf of the organization.
Thank you, Linda. Retirement, time to reflect, a time to remember, a time to laugh at some experiences, to contemplate others, and hopefully smile at the long and winding road your career has traveled. Charlene Hagerman went into this vocation as a wide-eyed young woman, naive to the experiences she would experience, but eager to contribute and help others. Charlene has been a registered nurse for over 42 years and has practiced through significant transitions in healthcare, never losing her way, persevering because of her passion for her role and her dedication to patients and families in need. Being a palliative care nurse, as Charlene has for more than 11 years, and that's just the time she has been with the North Simcoe Muskoka Hospice Palliative Care Network, can be rewarding and challenging at times for your mental health as you address daily loss and struggle nursing patients and families alike. Charlene has taken comfort, as we all must in this profession, that she has provided exceptional care with love, respect, and compassion, positively impacting the quality of that dying experience. Charlene has a deep respect for the core values of nursing and the use of validated tools in her assessments. Charlene believes inherently that strong relationships have a positive impact on maintaining hope and conserving dignity. Charlene, you have been a stable, guiding entity in our organization for more than 11 years. And your skill, compassion, and presence on our team is invaluable. We want to commend you on an amazingly purposeful, extremely successful career as a registered nurse, and we'll continue to respect the work you have done and have positively impacted so many, both at the bedside and in our organization. We wish you nothing but success and happiness and smiles as you enter this next adventure.
Thank you, Rachel. That was fantastic. And thank you, Charlene. Would you like to say anything before we sign off?
I just want to say thank you to the wonderful team. The last 11 years have been probably the best years of my nursing career. Although, having said that, I've had a great career, and I have no regrets. Thank you.
Thank you, Charlene. We love you.
Love you.
Thank you, Char.
Thank you, Charlene.